Very pleased now to be joined from NBC Sports Philly, John Clark. John, welcome. Great to have you back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, so John, let's get to it. It's going to be Sixers and Wizards coming up, game two. So let's do this in two parts. One, what was right about the Sixers in game one? Then we'll get to what they need to clean up.
Well, Tobias Harris was definitely right. The Sixers would have been down a lot in the first half if it wasn't for Tobias Harris with 28 points in the first half, and he basically got anything he wanted, and he saw he could just drive right to the basket. So Tobias Harris was huge, especially while they weren't shooting in the first half. And then Joel Embiid, when he was able to play freely and be aggressive again with the foul trouble, I mean, he just took over the game. When you have 30 points in just 30 minutes and just 16 shots, I mean, that shows just how big he was in the game. And that's really the number one guy that the Wizards just don't have an answer for.
Yeah, there's no matchup there. I mean, there's just no getting around it. Yeah, you know, Beal's really good. Westbrook's really good. But they don't have anybody that can match up with Embiid, especially the inside-out game of him. John, yeah, I mean, talent... Go ahead, John, please.
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing three centers at him, trying to just slow him down. The only thing that really can slow down Joel Embiid against the Wizards is foul trouble. And I don't know how many of those three fouls were actually legit. The third one wasn't, yeah, but right. That's the only thing that really can slow down Joel in this series.
Yeah, then that's you know, I was just talking about the Penguins in the previous segment with a guest. And the Penguins, who thrive on the power play, can't get any calls during the course of this. Then I go to the Sixers, and Embiid, you feel like Embiid in the first half of the game was a target for the officials.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, here's an MVP candidate, and sometimes I just think that the biggest guy on the court sometimes isn't given the break of, hey, I am the biggest guy on the court, so if I am within the area of somebody or touch somebody, they could go flying. And so sometimes I think it's a little unfair because, you know, when you're the biggest dude on the court, you are going to, you know, kind of have people clear out of the way. So I don't think he was afforded any luxuries. On the other hand, I thought the Wizards were, which is odd.
How about the let's get to Ben Simmons, because I think he's always a tough matchup. I mean, a guy that can play guard like that at that size is remarkable. How difficult has it been for the Wizards during the season and then now to actually match up with how he wants to play?
Yeah, and you look defensively as well. When you have a guy that size defensively who can basically guard five spots, that's really tough to get offense going against him. And, you know, look, I mean, Ben, when he's in transition with that ball at his size and how quick he can get up the court, he's hard to stop. So, you know, and that's his game. Look, I mean, his game, obviously, he doesn't feel comfortable shooting, so his game is getting to the basket. And when he is aggressive, he can do it whenever he wants. And, you know, the big argument in Philly was, well, he only had 6 points in game one, and he was 0 for 6 from the free throw line. But if you take 15 assists, that's at least 30 points or more if you have three-pointers, and then 15 rebounds. How many points did that lead to? So when Ben was on the court, the Sixers outscored the Wizards by 18 points. To me, that's all that needs to be said. He created a lot of opportunity.
See, I'm a big Simmons guy. You know, to me, anybody who has the ability to make the other four people around him better. Here's something else, John. Let me run this by you about Simmons. I really do admire athletes who understand what they're not comfortable at. Now, you can work on the offseason, but they don't try to force something they're not comfortable with, and that is Simmons.
Yeah, and look, I go to the gym or I go some places, and I just have people, Sixers fans, sometimes say, I'm done with Ben. Why won't he shoot? Now, look, the sport of basketball, the way you win, or the whole point of basketball is getting that basket into the net. So for a guy who doesn't shoot, it is odd. It is odd to me that he doesn't shoot, but obviously, there's something that that he, whether it's mental or whatever, because I see him in warmups. He's going to be out on the court soon in warmups, and he looks pretty fluid and has a good shot. So to me, I don't get it, but guess what?
Yeah.
He fits what they want to do. I mean, you've got Joel, you can have him down low, then you've got the outside shooting, and you've got Ben facilitating. I mean, he sets up more three-pointers than anybody in the NBA, and when you're in transition, he can take it to the rack. So look, if they can get it done without him shooting, I'm all good with it. Now, if you get to the finals and a team is playing, basically the Sixers are playing 4-on-5 when they're not defending him, then that's going to be a big problem. But look, I think Doc Rivers has played it right, where he says, I'm going to concentrate on the things Ben does well, and I think he's played it well.
Exactly. It's interesting when you mention that, because Wade Boggs and Ichiro could really put on a show in batting practice. But when they get to the game, it was about base hits. It wasn't about trying to drive the ball out. So, and that's where I think the acquisition a couple of years ago of Tobias Harris, to me, was so important for the Sixers. Because if he's going to be a distributor, it can't be just distributing to one guy. And I think Harris has given him another great option to distribute to, John.
Absolutely, and you've seen Tobias Harris totally take his game to another level. And when Doc Rivers had him in L.A. with the Clippers, Doc knows how to use Tobias. He knows how to get the best out of him. And Tobias, I mean, he's got that extra motivation of trying to prove that he's an all-star. But, you know, he's such a team guy. And he struggled in the playoffs last year. That was obvious. But you see the skill set that he has here. And when you have the confidence and the aggressiveness, you know, that's what you saw in game one. He says, okay, Joel's out. I'm taking over.
So let's talk about the defensive part of it. How do you feel about how the Sixers are matching up with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook?
Well, I mean, those are tough matchups. When you watch Bradley Beal in person instead of on TV, I mean, he's lethal. He can basically do whatever he wants. He can shoot the ball, or he can find his way to the basket. So I think in this series you've seen, okay, Danny Green's a good defender, but I would say, you know, Matisse Thybulle coming off the bench, he's, you know, if you go in order of your best defenders, right, Joel Embiid is your best team defender, right? Because if he's under the basket or around the basket, he changes the way teams play.
Mm-hmm.
I think your best one-on-one defender, or the guy who can lock somebody down, is Ben Simmons. And then you look at Matisse Thybulle, who is just so smart defensively. He's able to get in the way of passes, shots. And look, I think he can get even a little bit better because he's getting used to the NBA. But, you know, I think defensively they're going to be fine. You're going to have Beal and Russell Westbrook get, you know, whatever, 20 points each, 18 each, whatever. They're going to get their points. But I think that's okay. I think that's okay. The Sixers can even win with them getting their points. You saw that in game one. So I think the Sixers have the defense and the guys to hold them at bay. It's really all you want to do.
Thybulle's interesting. It reminds me a little bit of Lamar Stevens. People have asked me, Lamar couldn't really shoot the three yet. He's in the NBA because Lamar is a really good defensive player. He understands defensive concepts. Thybulle, you could tell when he was in college, knew defensive concepts. John, when you talk to coaches, you've got stars. Embiid's a star. Simmons is a star. Harris is a star. How important is for young players like that who understand how to play defense and how important that is in this league?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, you go back to Sixers team 20 years ago that made it to the finals. I mean, when you look at that team on paper now, you're like, how did this team get to the finals? It was basically Allen Iverson and a bunch of other guys, and they all bought in. They bought in with defense and rebounding, and that's really what you're seeing with these Sixers as well. With Matisse Thybulle, he knows his role, you know, and you could bring him off the bench and have him come in and be a defensive stopper. And you know, so I think it's very impressive that these guys each understand their roles. And then you see the other young player, the rookie, Tyrese Maxey. I mean, he's earning more and more minutes with the way he's playing, and he's obviously a guy who's going to come in and give him a spark offensively. And he's learned, too. So I think everybody talked about Joel and Ben maybe not being a fit coming into this year, but I think they've got the perfect pieces now to fit around them and complement everybody very well.
You mentioned Doc when it came to Tobias Harris. What kind of difference do you think Doc has made to this point?
I mean, really everything. I mean, Tobias is, I mean, basically in every category, he's having a career year.
Yeah.
And you could say that about all the Sixers, really. I mean, if you look at their statistics, for the most part, they're all pretty much having career years, or they're having better years than, you know, they used to say their baseball card shows. Right. So, I mean, I think Doc Rivers knows exactly how to use Tobias Harris, and you saw that in L.A., and I think the one thing he talked about going into the season was, I don't want Tobias Harris to have needless dribbling. Just boom, ball comes to you, shoot that ball. And so I think it's all just instinct now. And look, Tobias, you can tell his confidence and his aggressiveness. He's got the right mindset. And he's a closer. Tobias is a guy you can count on at the end of a game. If you need an important bucket, you know, maybe not a Jimmy Butler, but Tobias Harris has been that guy and can be that guy.
What about the fan base? How many fans are allowed in right now? And when they've been in there, what kind of difference have they made after the Sounds of Silence of last year?
Oh, man. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, being in here for game one, over 11,000 fans, and it seems like they all kind of moved down or were sitting together. It was pretty wild because it sounded and looked like a sold-out building. And I think it makes a huge difference. And just the juice that it gives everybody in the building and the feeling, and then the players. I mean, the Sixers, I mean, they have just dominated at home over the last couple of years, and they've got the best record in the NBA by far over the last 4 years at home. So, I mean, I think the fans have something to do with that, and Joel loves playing up to the fans. You could see when he started to get it going, he would flex for the fans. And so, I mean, it's just a great feeling to have everybody back. It feels like the way it used to. We kind of forgot what it feels like. We were playing like studio basketball with the, you know, couple thousand fans or no fans. So the building is jumping again, and the Wizards even talked about how difficult it is to play here.
John, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your insight. It's always appreciated here.
You got it. Thanks for having me on. Take care.